the King. Rise up and sing. Come, let us worship. Worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son.
Jesus has won. Come, let us worship. Worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1, 3, and 4. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 21, We Gather Together. Let us again continue our worship with hymn number 18, Now Thank We All Our God. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 26, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart.
Let's pray together. Our gracious God, by your providence, we live and work and join in families. And from your hand, we have received the things we need. Gift upon gift, O Father, all free. We thank you for the harvest of goodness you supply to us, for food and shelter that we have, for words of gestures, for all our human friendships. Above all, we praise you for your Son who came to show mercy and whose name is so precious and whose love is so precious that he called us his brothers. You have led us in the past, forgive our sin, and lead us in time to come. Lord, give us this Thanksgiving year a voice to praise your goodness in this land of the living, and a will to serve you now and always. And Father, as we approach Thanksgiving Day, we pray for each one of our missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis, who is in recovering, and I tested a little bit of what is to be sick and not knowing what you have. I thank you, Father, for the improvement and for the guidance of the doctors so that I can be under the control of medicine. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, for David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Central America, for Marta Peretti in Buenos Aires, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, for Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry. We thank you, Lord, that we have come to supply these missionaries faithfully through the years. And we thank you, Father, that our voice is not only in this church or in the internet or in the radio or in the tape ministry or in the CD ministry, but our voice is also in the life of these people who in foreign countries are teaching and explaining the living word. Now, Father, we come to the service with great expectations of your word. We come to the service to receive your word with gladness into our heart and into our life. And we pray, Lord, that as we do so, we be able to not only receive the word, but practice the word in such a way that our life will be similar to the life of Jesus, that we be a reflector of his image. And Father, for those who do not have Christ, what a great day to raise your hand and raise your heart and say, today is my day of thanksgiving, taking Jesus as my Savior. Lord, we are grateful as a church body, and especially as a pastor, for the support of your people of this church. Proves to me that doesn't have to be 5,000 people to do the ministry. Takes a handful committed to you, and that's all. And so, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver. Thank you for the gift of providing. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And if you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 690. We will be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you, first of all, that you are our Father indeed. We thank you for such a gracious salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we live in a place that has set aside a day when the entire nation gives you thanks for every blessing and every temporal blessing. Although many have lost sight of this fact, we pray, Father, that our nation would return to a realization that you are the sovereign God who supplies everything and who upholds all things by the word of his power. But most of all, as believers, we thank you for the wondrous things you've done for us, having received every spiritual blessing in Christ, and we lack nothing, because we know, Father, we are complete in Jesus Christ. We pray for wisdom, that we may make good use of our time in his service. We pray for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We are grateful that his health has improved and ask that he would be completely healed. Bless his exposition of your word and give us understanding to apply this teaching in a serious way to our everyday lives. Bless those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD that they may also benefit from your word, and draw any listening who are unbelievers, draw them to Christ, we pray. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you so much, my brother, for reading that precious scripture to us. This coming week, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. So I made a parenthesis to add another sermon of Thanksgiving. Pastor Thompson will do the sermon on this Wednesday night on Thanksgiving, and I hope I can listen from Oregon. It is good to have a spirit of Thanksgiving, and you will see why. Just to give you a background about Thanksgiving, the first American Thanksgiving was celebrated less than a year after the Christians who land in Plymouth, the colonies there, has settled at the new land in America. The first Thanksgiving Day was set aside for the special purpose of prayer, as well as a great celebration of God's provision. The decree of Governor William Bradford came in July 30, listen to the year, 1623, when the people came to this country, they were able to put the head together and knew that if something go wrong and then change for good, there has to be God who intervened. There were harvest festivals during the celebration, or days of thanksgiving for the plenty crops that God has provided for the country. During the Revolutionary War, 8 special days of thanks were observed for victories and for being saved from danger, and that was in the south of the United States. On November 26, 1789, President George Washington issued a general proclamation for a day of thanks in this country. Our National Day of Thanksgiving was proclaimed by President Lincoln, as you know, in 1863, with these words, "A day of thanksgiving and praise for the beneficent Father that we have." Today, we still celebrate Thanksgiving as a national legal holiday. It is a national legal holiday, and in spite of all those people who don't want to believe in God. And I believe that among the apostles of our Lord Jesus, the one who really were thankful to God was the Apostle Paul. And he learned to give thanks to God for everything. That's very difficult. Even in times of stress, of sickness, but the Apostle Paul learned to give thanks always for everything, even in the most unpropitious circumstances of his life. So I'd like to explain to you this morning, and you don't have to take notes, a copy of the sermon, send the bulletin. I explain three things: the standard of thanksgiving, and then the substance of thanksgiving, and then the secret of thanksgiving. And may we leave this place with the joy of the Lord. And if you don't have the Lord, as the choir has seen, this is the day of salvation. This is the day you can have the Lord in your heart. The standard of thanksgiving is in verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 4, if you are there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Look at what the Bible says. Giving thanks always for all things to God. The standard of thanksgiving first is God exalting. Giving thanks always for everything to God. To God. God exalting. And you may say, why? Well, turn your Bible to the left, to the book of Acts, chapter 17, page 652, Acts 17, verse 24 and verse 25. And you will know why our thanksgiving is exalting God. And if he's in Acts 17, verse 24, we read, God, who made the worlds and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hand, nor is he worshipped with men's hand as though he needed anything, since he, God, gives to all life, breath, and all things. That's why thanksgiving, first, the standard of thanksgiving is God exalting. If you have no God, you have no way to say thanks. Because he gave you life
in spite of what engineering medicine wants to create. God gives you life, and God gives you with life everything you have. So thanksgiving is focus on God. That's the secret. No wonder people who have no God, they don't know what to do on Thanksgiving Day. No wonder. Then it's Christ revealing. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, look at what the scripture says. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 20. It's good to have a wife who give you clues. Where were you when I was in chemistry exams in my younger day? I need that. Somebody do that. Remember when you had the formulas and you forgot the volume and this and you looked to see somebody will give you the clue. Christ revealing, chapter 5, verse 20 of Ephesians. He said, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christians, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a formula. See, we need a high priest. God has not abolished the office of high priest. Remember in the Old Testament, Moses' brother was the first high priest, Aaron. We need a high priest. And Christianity know it. And some part of Christianity have created themselves a high priest. They call the Pope. And because they know they need it, but they have not read the scripture, that the job of the high priest is to intercede before God and to intercede in a manner that you are welcome in heaven. Now, let's move our Bible. Put your hand in Ephesians 5. And move your Bible to Romans chapter 8. In verse 34, page 666, some of you maybe don't like that number, Romans 8, in verse 34, page 666 for the Bible here. And look at what the Bible says. Here is why the secret of thanksgiving is focusing God and is Christ revealing. In Romans 8, verse 34 said, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, the only person that can make intercession is a priest. And Christ, the book of Hebrews said, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. That's why Christianity without Christ is not Christianity and has no value. Christ is the focus, the center, the life of Christianity. Not only he give you life and light, but he give also a sustaining life by praying for you. Christ revealing. And we are thankful that not only we understand what Christ came to do, we are thankful that Christ is there for us every moment, every second of our life. The standard of thanksgiving then is God exalting, Christ revealing, time investing. Look at in verse 20 again. Giving thanks always. 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 No, in my years, I grew up with Christian family. It's just, you have, some of you maybe have that privilege. And I was an observer of the people that I grew up, because I grew up with my grandma. I grew up with my uncles. And so they were very rigid, foreigners, Italians, Spaniards, very rigid. And I have an uncle called Santos, Saint was his name. And when he prayed, he always gave thanks. And one time he don't know what for. He said, I give you thanks, and I don't know what for, but I give you thanks anyway. And I was shocked. You know, you are 17, 18, 19 years old. And he said, but I give you thanks. And it's just so outstanding. Give thanks. It's time investing. Look at verse 15 in chapter 5 of Ephesians, 15, 16, and 17. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, here's the will of the Lord. That always we thanks to God. In our prayers, we should say, Lord, thank you. And one of the major things of thanking God, as I grew up in the gospel and the grace of God, is for the mercy of God. He doesn't give us what we deserve.
Boy, that we have to be grateful. And then we who are parents for our children, and then we who are grandparents for our grandchildren. And there is always a motivation, always, to give thanks to God. Humbles our heart, you know. Standard of thanksgiving, God exalting, focus. Then Christ revealing. Without Christ, there is no thanksgiving. And then don't waste your time. Thank the Lord. And it's all embracing in verse 20, going back to Ephesians 5:20, say, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. For all things. You notice that? For all things. It's all embracing. Thanksgiving is not a selective part of our life. It's for everything. Why? I was desperately sick. Desperately sick. Desperately with high temperature. Don't know what to do, neither the doctor know what to do. Why should I give thanks? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 8, please. Page again, 666, whether you like it or not, that's the page number. Romans chapter 8, and look at on verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the call according to His purpose. Everything works for good. We maybe do not understand it that day. We maybe never understand it in this life. But God has designed our life that everything will work for good. So it's all embracing. Not only thanking God for a new Mercedes, but thanking God for this or for the other. We thank God for everything. And I start praying, God, give me the wisdom to know what to do with my body. All right. I even asked my wife, is our trash available that we can look on it? Because I thought I wanted to die when you don't have energies and fall apart. And I said, let's review our trash and everything that you know how to handle if I'm not here. She said, don't talk about it. I said, yeah, let's talk about it because I maybe say goodbye. Because when you have that temperature, you cannot think in your body. And I want to go to the gym. And the doctor said, you cannot go to the gym. You cannot walk. Then I understood later on that I had to drink water to solve the problem. But I tell you. So I refused to pay the doctor. But water is free in America. I was taking all the medicine at once. And I told the doctor with a glass of wine. Because I don't drink wine. But he said, all the medicine at once? Three antibiotics at once? You're nuts. He said, you have to drink 2 liters of water. Oh, I said, is that so? You know, I have to be thankful to God for the patience the doctors have with some people, especially me, all right? The standard of thanksgiving, you focus on God. Then you say, thank God that we have a high priest. Doesn't have to change every 20 years or 12 years. It's there forever. At the right hand of the Father. Thank God he's not a human person from Poland or from Italy or from Argentina or from China. Thank God that he's God. You know? Thank God that he loves me regardless if I'm black, white, yellow, green, or whatever color God gave me. Isn't it fantastic that we have a Christ like that? That's what God wants us to be like him in that way. The standard of thanksgiving, focus on God and embrace that Jesus. Now, what is the substance of thanksgiving? All right. In verse 18 to 20, the apostle gave us three thoughts. Number one, is speaking the truth of God. Look at verse 19. Is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is speaking the truth of God. You know, you take these all hymn books, all these Baptist hymn books that we have here, and you look through the hymn book, and you see the truth of God in every hymn of the hymn book. I've been in a very gorgeous, large Bible conference with pastors where the music is entirely different. They have an orchestra, and they have the batteries and so on, and I like it when I walk in, the battery talks, and I be like this, and everybody standing, you know, we joke a little bit. But I tell you, the songs, I cannot understand it unless they were flashed on the screen. I cannot understand what they said because of the noise. It's just amazing. I thank God they have
a fine-tuned television via internet and so on. And I listened last night. My wife listened. I was flip over. But it was a great concert from Dublin in Europe. A great concert with these famous violinists that, I tell you, famous in 1 hour that you can rejoice in your heart from Europe, you know. And when they focused to the audience, were all people like me. The young people are gone. They go for that fantasy, see. And there is no truth on it. Somebody asked me of the young people in the conference, why don't you like this? I don't like it because there is no substance on it. See, the guy who wrote a hymn is because he experienced in his life the struggles of life and the victory of Christ. And then he writes, speaking the truth, said, and hymns and making melody. I cannot do that to Raquel. She will run away from the home if I do that. But I can read a psalm to her. Look at with me in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, page 694. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Page 694. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. See, it is a remarkable, outstanding Thanksgiving. It's a day where you people who know how to sing can say, before the meal, we're going to sing to God be the glory. Only believers can do that. The unbelievers, you say, we're going to sing to God be the glory. And they look at you like saying, what did he say? Speaking the truth of God is the substance of Thanksgiving. Showing the joy of the Lord. Look at verse 19 again in Ephesians 5. They said, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that's that writing, you know, Paul has the Old Testament in his head. He was always with a manuscript. If you turn your Bible to Psalm 40 in the Old Testament, and in verse 3, Psalm 40 and verse 3, you see the substance of Paul's writing. In Psalm 40 and in verse 3, the Bible says, he has put a new song in my mouth. It's page 355, Psalm 40, verse 3. The psalmist says, David says, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. I tell you, showing the joy of God is not a cheap thing. It's not just making noise with a battery and having loud music. That's not the key. The key is the reflection of the peace of God in your heart. And when you show that reflection of the peace of God and that joy in your heart, some people envy and get mad, but some people will see, this person has something I don't have. And that's the important part. The substance of Thanksgiving is the joy that God gives you in spite of everything. Each time I went to the doctor to see, well, come in. I smiling, you know. And one time he said, you have to wait a little because I went to the office. He said, well, you go to the internist. So I went to the office of Dr. Kraut. He said, oh, he's busy. I said, you know, lady. He said, how long will it take? He said, it will take 2 or 3 weeks for the appointment. I said, I tell you something. It's okay as I come back. But tell me, why they put trees on the highway? So what? I'm trying to avoid every tree in the highway they put on. He said, stay here. The doctor will take care of you. And I was smiling. And I hear inside the doctor is laughing as can be. He said, that must be Gabriel Otero, he said. You know, it's hard for me to go down. You never know I'm sick. I'm happy. I have the Lord Jesus. I have the Lord Jesus. I'm happy. I have the people of God and the church that God has created. You know, God has not leave you on the field alone. God has not saved you and dropped you in some place. God give you an under shepherd to care for you. God give you a church where you are together as a body of believers. He said it clearly in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together, as some have already the custom to do so, said the scripture. God has a place for you in his body. Once you are a believer, you belong to the body of Christ in heaven and in earth. And the Holy Spirit speak through the body of Christ and fill your heart and life. And you get the discipline of life through the body of Christ as you submit yourself to the structure of God. It's just beautiful. Showing the joy of God. No wonder people without church, they have to be really sad. Everybody who comes to these churches, that's a loving church. Well, that's the church of God. A loving church. We accept you as you are, and then we reflect to you the image of Christ so that you imitate Christ, not the pastor, but Christ. Showing the joy of God. And then sharing the love of God. Look at verse 21 in Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, nobody thought that submitting is love. But we have to submit in love. You know, when I play professionally, soccer, I had to submit to the coach. And I did it because I want the team to win. I thought sometimes the coach was wrong when they told me, don't go ahead. And you run, and then the ball is going to come high, and it's going to be a goal. But I like it. They said, well, you do what I said. Now, I had to submit. I'm not mad at the coach. He's for me. And the fullback did not run in the fall and play forward. No, he played fullback. And so in life, God has given us a position. Some of you are husbands, some of you are wives, some of you are children. And we play in our position. And if we play in our position, your team win. You got it? It's when I want to, imagine as a goalie, that I run, I want to put a goal. I say, that's not your job, but I like to. But no, you can't do it. You have to submit to the common sense. And when the Bible says submit to one another, is the husband submit to the wife submit to the husband, the children submit to the parents. And there is a tremendous relationship in Christianity that produces joy. But when we step out of that submission, is when chaos comes. Please. Submitting is not a rule of law, it's a rule of love. You got it? I'll tell you something very personal, extremely personal. Raquel has a strong character, a strong character. But she will never put me down, and she will never tell you my faults. She may be arguing with me at home about it, but she will never, never reveal my weakness to you. Now, that is love. Somebody said, that's stupid. No, that's not stupid. That is love and care. And this is what I mean. We are thankful to God that we have a book of rules that makes our marriage beautiful when we love each other and play as God has stated. Sharing the love of God. Then there is one more thing, the secret of thanksgiving. Well, in chapter 5, verse 18, we have the incoming of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18, please. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That is the incoming of the Holy Spirit. If you go to chapter 4, the same book of Ephesians, and you look with me in chapter 13, you see the incoming of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:13, we read, till we all come to the, excuse me, no, 1:13. In him you also trust, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice the steps of this verse. The Bible says clearly here, and you trust. Pastor, I cannot trust God. That's all right. That's all right. I understand. But the Bible says you have to trust. And how I came to trust God? After you heard the word of truth. You see that in the verse? So the word of truth is the Bible. John 17:17 says, Holy Father, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when you hear the word of God, maybe if you are like me, you have to hear it 100 times to get it. Don't feel bad if you don't get it the first time. I don't get it the first time. It took a lot of years to get it. But once you get it, then the Bible says here in verse 13, God seals you with the Holy Spirit. And so that is the secret of Thanksgiving, the incoming of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you a secret to you. The people in the Old Testament do not have this. The people of the Old Testament, remember the Bible mentioned in John that the Holy Spirit had not come yet to the apostles. It was after in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled the apostles. So when Jesus took off to heaven, then the Holy Spirit came in. See, God works in submission. When God was on earth, Jesus was not on earth, neither the Holy Spirit. God was dealing with Moses face to face. Then God was dealing with the prophets, with the judges, and then the prophets. And then God brings Jesus. So God takes off to heaven and got Jesus in the air. When Jesus goes to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit will come in. God works in perfect harmony. And then after this, God's going to take all of us to heaven, and we're going to see the Trinity. That is something that amazed me. The Trinity. See, the incoming of the Holy Spirit is not something that man brought out. Like some people say, I pray for the Spirit. Why do you pray if you get it? So I pray the Holy Spirit will come to my heart. Well, you will tell God what to do? Come on. The Holy Spirit comes when you read the Scripture, the day that you understand the Scripture, the day that you understand that Christ came to die for your sins, the day that you understand that Christ came to wash you your sins away and to take you into the very presence of God because of His love, regardless what nationality you are, then you become in love with God. That's the day Holy Spirit came to you. And some of us, they move our arms. And some of you say, well, yeah, it's just okay. That's personality-wise. But the incoming, the secret of Thanksgiving is people have to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You need to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's just tremendous. And there is an infilling of that Spirit. If you notice in verse 18, it said, do not be drunk with wine, which bring dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. There is an infilling of that Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit of God means this, not that God give you one quarter of the Spirit or three quarters of the Spirit or half of the Spirit. God give you the Holy Spirit. But there is something you can do. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, page 697, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, and page 697, the Bible said this there. Look at how clever. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. That means the word quench is an interesting original word in the Greek language. You know when you get a can of Coca-Cola, you finish the Coca-Cola, what do you do? This is what I do. Finish the Coca-Cola, put it on the floor, and I think it's a soccer ball. I push it down until it's really flat, then I put it there so I can get $2 or $3 back for someday. And it goes to granddaughters. All right. You suppress that little thing. Bam, bam, until it's flat. You suppress. And the Bible said, I give you the whole Holy Spirit to you. But when we disobey God, we suppress the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we suppress the Holy Spirit. We don't let the Holy Spirit act. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. Why not every believer is enjoying life? Because there is some suppression of the Holy Spirit going on. There is something you are doing that God doesn't want you to do. So then you are mad, upset, or whatever. But the secret of Thanksgiving is let the Spirit flow through you. And you know what the Spirit of God will do? Well, you're in Ephesians. Go to Galatians, please. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Look at what the Holy Spirit will do to you. Will give you fruits of life. Verse 22, please. Galatians is the book prior to Ephesians. 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Give these verses to a psychologist to see what he has to say. He's lost. The Holy Spirit in you give you love, give you joy, give you peace, long-suffering, that's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. You see, Paul added, against such, there is no law. In other words, if you behave in that way, you are the image of the real God. That's amazing. The secret of thanksgiving is we got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to control us, but the Holy Spirit will not control us. We have to let the Holy Spirit control us. And you let the Holy Spirit control you when you obey the book. We thank God that we and thee know how to celebrate thanksgiving. If I had to wrap up the entire issue of thanksgiving, I will go to a book you study in Sunday school, the book of Nehemiah, with you. If you go with me to the book of Nehemiah, it's in the Old Testament. You have the book of Psalms, go left, then Job, go left a little more. Then you get Nehemiah. And I just want to show you in chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah. You study this in your Sunday school. But I just want to show you what is the top secret of thanksgiving. I feel sorry for those people who do not go to church or have no church affiliation whatsoever. I feel sorry. Israel in captivity, that's the background of Nehemiah. Israel in captivity, he spent 70 years without church, without Bible, without anything. Whatever they remember by memory, they taught to their children. And Nehemiah have good grandparents and parents who told him about Jerusalem. And who told him that there was a law. There was the law God given in his scrolls, and they were someplace. And that law has the secret of life. As you study the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is chosen by God to stir up his heart, to give him intelligence, to rebuild the walls, and now he's in the process of rebuilding a nation. You do not rebuild a nation by the Congress of the United States. You go far away. You rebuild a nation by what happened here. Look at verse 8 in chapter 8. He got the whole nation on the square, and so they read distinctly from the book, said the Bible, in the law of God. That means they read the scripture, and they gave this sense and help them to understand the reading. Ezra was the one doing this. He was the scribe. He was explaining the scripture to children and to everybody. Look at verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest, and a scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When you read the Bible, there is no help. If you don't have God and Jesus as your Savior, you wept. Because you see the perfection that God requires. You see what God requires from every human being, and you say, I never make it. One of the things that disturbed me and took me so many years before being a Christian is because I read the book, my grandma read the book, but I said, who can be like that? It's such a perfection that you never make it. But they found the book. And unless you have the book, you never know you're imperfect. Unless you read the Bible, you never know you're a sinner. Is that right? You read the newspaper, you think you are great. You listen to the Congress, you think our nation is in chaos. I tell you, unless you have the Bible, you never know where you stand. The Bible is like a compass. They tell you exactly where you are. And people don't like it. I don't like it. When I was young, called me a sinner, a soccer player. Oh, come on. My picture's in the newspaper. What are you talking about, sinner? See, I had no idea. No clue what God was talking. So Nehemiah find the book in Susa, the palace, and bring the book, and the whole nation read the book and make sense to understand it. If you read Nehemiah, you know that they spend 6.5 hours standing, reading the scripture. And the children, the little babies, all with them. I'm sure that some of them cry in the fire, say, quiet, and keep on going listening. Isn't that beautiful? Look at verse 10. Ezra is speaking and said, at Nehemiah 8:10, then said he to them, go your way, eat your Mexican food, eat the fat, or eat your Italian food, or eat whatever food you want. He said, go ahead, the Iranian food, go ahead. Eat that way. Drink the sweet, that's the nice sweet tea, all right? Send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. You know, great. Invite somebody to your home on this Thanksgiving Day. For this day is a holiday. No, look at that. This day is holy to our God. It's not a holiday, it's a holy day. This day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, please. Do not sorrow on Thanksgiving Day. Do not sorrow. Why? If you're a Christian, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow. I'm sick, but I will not sorrow. I will see my girls and enjoy them and spoil them as much as I can for a week. And I leave and let them handle the situation after. But I tell you, do not sorrow. If you have God, do not sorrow. Enjoy. Bring your children into the table. Let them see. One of the things that I learned from childhood, that in every meeting, a very formal meeting in my home, all the children and everybody, we have no girls, we're all boys, we all have been there, well-dressed with suit and everything, sit on the table. And I don't know why the adults talk about it, but we were sitting there eating properly. I maybe pulled the tablecloth so somebody with the soup will go, you know. I was the troublemaker and looked to my brother so that he was guilty. You know, all kinds of things. You know, it was natural. I was a child. I was like you are. But one day God touched my heart and changed the direction of my life. May God touch your life this Thanksgiving Day, that as you meet with your family, you are grateful that we have an intercessor. We have a Pope, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful that we have found God. We are grateful that He has provided for our life in abundance. And if you have no God, think about it. I don't want to push God through your throat. No way. I want to tell you that it's good for me. That the God that I believe has been good for me. And I want that God to be good for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. And thank you that you have brought to us the revelation of a marvelous and wonderful Savior. Not only that, that you and this country have provided for us a day where we all Christians can say, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for the inconvenience of life and for the stress of life so that we can look for better days ahead. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. And this Thanksgiving Day, in Jesus we pray, amen.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah.
Springs of living.
of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you will hear this on the coming Sunday, because the coming Sunday I will preach that sermon that was for today on the women at Samaria. Jesus visiting a lady who was dissatisfied with her life. And I want you to play that at the end. And so those people who have a schedule for this Sunday will go to the next one and so on. That's good, no? It is good. Let us stand for the benediction, and may God give you a blessed, supreme blessed Thanksgiving. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your Holy Spirit and soul and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you forever and ever. Amen.